Hello everyone! Welcome to your weekly tech update, the show that explores the newest, coolest, and craziest side of tech available on the interwebs. I am your VR gamer, Ray McNeil. Coming up on today's program, get ready for your weekly tech update VR special. We're talking the massively anticipated Blood and Truth. We'll also have reviews of Everybody's Golf VR and Trainer VR for the PlayStation VR, and I'll show you the all-new Oculus Rift S. That and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update next. We start the show with a game that has been over 3 years in the making. When the PlayStation VR was released, one of the first games was a demo disc of sorts called PlayStation Worlds, giving us short games like VR Luge, where the player leans and slides down a highway, evading other vehicles. Scavenger's Odyssey, that's where players explore a sci-fi location using vehicles and defeat aliens using the scavenger beam and pulse cannon. There was also Ocean Descent. Players there descend to the depths of the ocean and observe different marine life. Danger Ball was pretty fun. It was a sports game in which you use your head to hit a ball. And then The London Heist, a first-person shooter in which the player controls a mobster who is tasked with stealing a diamond and is really one of the standout experiences. It showed that AAA quality games were possible on the PlayStation VR, and it left us wanting so much more than its 20 minutes of gameplay gave us. Today, I'm happy to say Sony has released the spiritual successor to The London Heist, and it's now my all-time favorite VR game. In Blood and Truth, you play, or rather star, in the best action movie I have ever experienced as British commando Ryan Marks, who comes home after his father's funeral to find out a rival organization is trying to muscle the rest of your family out of the family business. It's never said what that business is, but you get the idea pretty quickly that it's not exactly legal. Now, you can play this with the standard DS4 controller, but really, you want to use the moves, giving you the ability to manually reload your gun, throw grenades, and even climb and crawl during this 6-hour adventure. It really brings you that much closer to actually being in the game. You grab ammo off your chest to reload your weapons, and you can even flick the double barrel shotgun and revolver closed after you put in the ammo. If you remember the awesome firefight on the highway from The London Heist, then you'll be happy to know that they start this game with that level of excitement, with an equally heart-pounding car chase in just the first few minutes of the game. If you have ever wanted to feel like you were part of a James Bond, Jason Bourne, or even Die Hard movie, then this is what you've been waiting for. Blood and Truth has a great storyline full of some of the best character animation I have ever seen, even if it was getting really close to the uncanny valley in places. The whole world feels full of life, and they vary the action so things never actually get boring for you, and you're always looking forward to what kind of new experience is around the corner. From gunfights in many locations, to jumping off a crane high above the city, to picking locks, hacking security panels, climbing the side of a building, and crawling through air ducts, it was so thrilling and well put together that I didn't even once care that this is essentially a rail shooter. There is little to no free movement, and I didn't mind one bit. I see games as interactive movies. One of the only things that I hate about movies is that the good ones have to end. The Avengers Endgame was 3 hours long, and I would have loved it to stretch for 4 or even 5. That's the great thing about a good story. You don't want it to end, and the great thing about games, a good story could go on for hours more, or even tens of hours, or hundreds of hours, depending on the game. That's how it feels to play Blood and Truth. It's a great, amazing story that you live through, and you don't want it to end. You have to see what's around the next corner, and your heart pounds like a kid for the first time in a candy store for the whole ride. You start the game talking to a special agent who has caught you and is convincing you to cooperate. The first action sequence is a flashback to Ryan Mark's last mission and acts as a first level tutorial to teach you how to move, shoot, and reload. You also get your first look at your equipment bag, complete with a screwdriver, wire snips, lockpick, and an extra fuse. You're supposed to take out the baddies and extract a colleague. This leads into a great car chase gunfight scene that lasts a full 3.5 minutes and shows off some great explosive slow-mo moments. You fly away in a helicopter to get to the intro and find out your father has died of a heart attack and you're heading back to London. The next scene sees you in an airplane and then being picked up at the airport by your brother. All the characters are very expressive, and as the story unfolds, you can look around the room to see all the NPCs reacting differently to what's going on. To your mom giving you concerned looks, to your sister rolling her eyes and grinning, and the bad guy showing his disdain for you and your family. You find out, though, that your family is not to be messed with, and you head on your quest to take out the bad guy and win the day complete with your own secret hideout base. This is where you learn to paint your guns and switch them out for others in your inventory, and they even give you a gun range to test everything out. The Move controllers really help make this a great game. Aiming feels natural, and I imagine pretty realistic to how well you can aim a real gun in the real world. The first mission is to infiltrate a casino and look for the boss. Your family serves as your support crew and allows you to listen in on the security radios. You find out that Tony Sharp, the rival boss, is not in the building, but you decide to go after his brother. Using security cams, you track him down. Your sister pulls the power to the building and allows you to take him out and escape. During these episodic moments, being on rails actually helps because you're not thinking about where you have to go next. You're enjoying the story and following the progression. You have just enough movement to give you some options. Everything's based on waypoints, and once you clear the room you're in, you can progress to the next waypoint and the next and the next. You're also able to strafe left and right in certain situations, but it all lends itself well to enjoying the story as an interactive movie. Between the action, they show off the capabilities of VR at every turn. One scene gives you control of a DJ booth, while another has you walking through an art gallery and shows off some great interactive displays, including one that lets you shoot a paintball gun, and another that has you waving your arms in front of a sea of responsive lights. There's even an odd musical forest that you end up blowing up because you're having too much fun. There's even a few creepy moments to break up the action. You get behind the scenes in the museum and you find out that Tony is shipping something on planes. You get back to your hideout and find out that Mr. Sharp has kidnapped your mom now, and you run off for a thrill-packed rescue mission. Fighting through his minions, you rescue her, only to lose her moments later. This brings you back to the present, and you teaming up with the special agent that has been interrogating you. Your next mission sends you to the airport to find out what Tony is shipping and how deep the rabbit hole goes. I'm going to stop with the story because it is so good, and I really don't want to at least completely spoil it for you. But I will say, if you're an action movie fan and have always wanted to live through one of those movies, well, you need to play Blood and Truth. Gameplay is exciting. It will satisfy most people, even though you have limited movement. It gives you the freedom to worry about the guns, enemies, and environment. They break up the action with some unique VR gameplay, and it's a game you will replay over and over, even if they didn't add anything, but they actually did. You have leaderboards, time trials, and the developer has even said that they will release a new game plus option, whatever that means. Blood and Truth has become the must-experience VR game that everybody must try. On the sound side of things, Sony has again provided AAA quality right down to the sounds of the guns. The only problem I had was that the larger guns maybe didn't sound as powerful as they probably should. Everything else, though, was top-notch, including the explosions and the voice acting. Visuals were pretty much the same. Very much the same as the London heist, with realism the main concern. Lighting was just about perfect, and the characters were modeled well, even though there was a little creepy realism, mainly with the sister. Thanks to this game, there is no longer a question of what you should show somebody who is new to VR. You just have to show them Blood and Truth and watch their minds melt at the awesomeness of this game. For being just the best VR game I have ever played, Blood and Truth for the PlayStation VR gets 5 out of 5 stars here on your weekly tech update. If you're looking for a more casual experience in VR, then Everybody's Golf VR might be what you're looking for. I have a secret love for golf games and have played everything from Tiger Woods PGA Golf to Hot Shots to Wii Sports and, of course, the classic Mario Golf. Golf is a simple game, but it's one of the easiest to mess up translating it into a video game. Everybody's Golf VR is the 12th game in the series, so the developers have perfected how a golf game should play. What you're looking at is a fairly simple game that doesn't add a lot of bells and whistles, but it really doesn't have to. Since VR has crept its way into the mainstream, we've been waiting for a good golf game, and no 100-foot robot golf was not it. Everybody's Golf VR seems to be the answer to that nagging question, how do I play golf in VR and actually enjoy it? Like any VR experience done right, it's an absolute pleasure to spend 5 minutes playing, or even as long as an hour. You start at the driving range and learn how to properly swing. After a very brief intro, you're free to head to the course. Your caddy is really the biggest annoyance. They only have 3 things to say depending on the weather, and they all greet you like they've never met you each and every time. It's something I really hope that they let us skip at some point. Other than that, though, the caddies give you basic info about each hole, like wind speed and direction, and it is rather useful. If the hole is above or below your current position, and even where your ball ends up. It really seems like they enjoy it a little too much, though, when you go into the bunker. I imagine that your golfing skills directly translate into this game. I played about as good as I usually do on a real golf course. It's just as easy to slice the ball as it is in real life, and staying out of the bunkers is just as tough. You start with 1 open course and 1 set of basic clubs. You only have the option of playing a 3-hole game to start, but quickly unlock the ability to play 9 holes at a time and open up a few more courses with little work. My favorite part is something that real golfers are going to scoff at. They have a set of clubs that you unlock that enables you to hit straighter shots with the sacrifice of a little bit of power, helping you avoid the bunkers and making it so you're not in the rough as much. Then they have an unlockable that lets you put a little tornado in the hole that will suck the ball in if it comes within a foot or two. Like I said, real golfers will scoff at this feature, but casual gamers will appreciate the ability to play a game and not get frustrated because you putt past the hole 4 times and get a double bogey. Is it a cheat? Well, yes, but a welcome one to the world of golf video games. I normally approach a video game as wanting to experience a real-world action, but with some video game augmentation. And that's what I'm getting with Everybody's Golf. The extras are just enough to not ruin the game, but help bad players feel, not as bad. Once you progress through the game, you open up a course with dinosaurs. Normally something like this is just a little gimmick, but the prehistoric creatures look really cool in VR, and you'll find yourself just stopping in the middle of your game to look around at the view and try to spot as many different dinos as you can. Gameplay is great. It's a simple golfing game. nothing less. If you like golf, you will like it in VR. It plays pretty much like real golf, and with the addition of some expert clubs, even the hardcore golfers of the group will have a challenge ahead of them. Visually, this is a very cartoony-looking game, but it does well and never really distracts from the gameplay. The world is still beautiful, if a little basic. Sound is, again, just kind of fine. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's average for golfing games, but the voice acting could be massively improved. They even dubbed American voices over the NPCs that are clearly speaking Japanese, and considering all the characters only have a few lines of dialogue that they repeat over and over and over again, well, I'm guessing the voice actors only spent about 30 minutes in the studio to record all the dialogue of the game. I'm curious if the Japanese version has more dialogue or not. If you know, shoot me an email, djraymcneil@gmail.com. I'd just kind of like to know. This is a basic game, but in the best way possible. It's a simple golf game that you can enjoy if you enjoy golf. If not, well, you may want to stay away. For its very annoying caddies and limited voice work, I'm going to give Everybody's Golf for the PlayStation VR 3 out of 5 stars. Moving on to another new game for the PlayStation VR, I'm talking Trainer VR. It's another very basic game that is exactly what you would think it is. It's a model train building simulator, but in VR. Think about the most extravagant model train set you've ever seen. That's pretty much what you get here. You have every track piece you could ever want in the real world and are able to build to your heart's content for as long as you like. I'm guessing there is a limit to how many pieces you can put in one track, but I haven't seen it yet. Looking into gameplay, you have two areas you can build. One is just kind of a blank slate, and the other one is a Utah-looking set with canyons and mountains. You're able to take your childhood dream of owning a room-sized train set and expand it to as large as a house, or even larger. It's really all about the time that you want to put into it, because this can be a time-consuming process, but I have seen people say that it's their zen time, their way to relax, and I can totally see getting some peace out of this game. Or do we call it a simulator? Because there's no goal or a way to win, at least as far as I've seen. No unlockables or bosses you have to fight or anything. You just place your track pieces down, build a train with the cars available, and let them go. You can then sit back and just watch the show or unleash your inner Bart Simpson with dynamite and blow the whole thing sky high. For people who want a slow, serene experience, then you may want to check out Trainer VR. Visuals, again, are very on par with Everybody's Golf. There's nothing groundbreaking here. It has that very cartoony look, but everything is clear enough, and you can get lost for hours feeling content to just build. Sound, again, is just kind of average. There's nothing that is an issue, and nothing that really impresses you either. It's the basic sounds you would expect to hear when playing this game. Or, you know, playing with a model train set. After playing lots of VR games that were filled with glitches, both visual and at a briefing held at the Game Developer Conference, we got our first look at the new Oculus Rift S, a replacement for the Rift that no longer needs external tracking stations and offers an improved visual experience for your entire library of old Oculus titles. If you follow along with technology, the name should ring a few bells. Both Apple and Microsoft append an S to their products to denote a minor improvement, like the Xbox One S and the iPhone XS, for example, as well as to indicate that the product is backwards compatible and will, in time, replace the original. All of that is true as well for the Oculus Rift S. So, what are we to make of the successor to the original Oculus Rift? The Rift S promises to bring frustration-free, out-of-the-box room-scale VR just in time for the next big wave of VR titles. The Oculus Rift S and the Oculus Quest will cost the exact same amount. That's $399 US or about $550 Australian, with the Quest giving us a lower-powered but wire-free VR experience. So, which one should you buy? The Rift S is for those of us with gaming PCs who are looking for the more definitive VR experience, and you also don't need to worry about running out of storage. The Quest, remember, only has 64 or 128 gigs of space. If the idea of shelling out for a gaming PC doesn't sit well with you, or if you're the kind of person who'd rather have a portable system that you could take with you, the Oculus Quest is obviously the better choice. Not only is it more portable, but it doesn't have a wire. It's probably a bit safer for that reason, too. The two hallmarks of the Oculus Rift is the fact that it doesn't come with external tracking stations, instead uses five outward-facing cameras.